Hello and welcome to the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, May 22nd. This is Susan Over. We will begin this reading with Area Calendar. Registration taken. 7 a.m. May 28th for the Memorial Mile Run, downtown Bloomington. Benefits the Great Plains Life Foundation Stay For Project. Registration begins Eureka Public Library Summer Reading Program and continues through June 2nd during regular library hours. Registration taken Upcycled Jean Purse 10 till noon and 6 till 8 p.m. on June 8th, which is a Thursday, 10 a.m. to noon on June 13th. Normal Public Library. Registration is required. Tuesday, Bicycle Master Plan Public Meeting, 5 till 7 p.m. in the cafeteria of the Washington Elementary School located at 1201 East Washington Street in Bloomington to discuss the Washington Street proposed amendment, and an open house celebrating former Mayor John Moore of Lexington is being held tomorrow, Tuesday, from 5 till 7 p.m. at Christo's Java Cafe and Wine Bar, and that is located at 304 West Main Street in Lexington. End of article. Further events listed in yesterday's paper. Registration taken for the Edible Rainbow Slime. That will be held from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on June 12th, which is a Monday, at the Bloomington Public Library Story Room. It is for children ages 8 to 11. Registration will begin on May 30th, which is a Friday. Space is limited. You may call 309-828-6094, 828-6094, or go to the children's desk. Registration, Wacky Widgets and Crazy Contraptions at 2 p.m. on June 17th, which is a Saturday, at the Bloomington Public Library Community Room. It is for ages 17 and up. Registration starts on May 30th. Space is limited. Call 828-6093, 828-6093, or go to the bloomingtonlibrary.org site. Volunteers needed to place flags for Memorial Day. Bloomington. Twin City residents are invited to help place flags on the graves of veterans for the Memorial Day holiday. Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 454 Bloomington is organizing that commemorative event. Those flags will be placed this Thursday with a rain date of Friday. Memorial Day is next Monday. Those wishing to assist in the project can meet at the participating Bloomington Cemeteries. Flags will be placed at 8 a.m. at East Lawn Cemetery, beginning with the first building on the south side of the property, and at 8:45 at Park Hill Cemetery. A trio of properties will also be covered as a whole, starting at 8 a.m. Thursday with St. Mary's and followed by St. Joseph's and East Twin Grove Cemeteries. Help is also needed for flag collection from those cemeteries at 8 a.m. on May 30th, which is a Friday. For more information on flag placement, contact 309-827-9733, 827-9733. The American Legion Post 56 Bloomington will also place flags and crosses on Post 56 burial plots at Park Hill Cemetery near the Legion Memorial at 8:30 a.m. this Thursday. They will be picked up at 8:30 a.m. on May 30th. The public is also welcome to assist with the project. The American Legion Post 635 may also need assistance with cemetery projects, and you can contact them at 309-452-1671, 452-1671. End of article. Four charged in prostitution ring. Bloomington. Four people, including a 15-year-old juvenile, have been arrested following a prostitution sting in Bloomington. Devonte M. Dawson, 26, of Bloomington, is charged with promoting prostitution and driving on a revoked or suspended license. He remains in McLean County Jail in lieu of posting $3,500 in bond money and is scheduled for arraignment June 2nd in McLean County Circuit Court. Kelsey D. Votley, 25, of Bloomington, faces a charge of promoting prostitution. She remains in the McLean County Jail in lieu of posting a $2,000 bond. She is due in court for arraignment on June 2nd. Sarah Ridgway, 22, also of Bloomington, is accused of prostitution and has been released on a $5,000 personal recognizance bond. She is scheduled for arraignment May 31st. The juvenile of Bloomington was released to her parents. Bloomington police said those four were arrested near the 800 block of IAA Drive in Bloomington around 6 p.m. on May 17th, last Wednesday. End of article. Heartland Textbook Swap continues to grow. What started more than 3 years ago as a student-inspired idea to cut textbook costs at Heartland Community College is still going strong but has room to grow. The first textbook swap took place in spring 2014. For each textbook a student brought in, the student gets credit for a free book. At that first swap, 100 books exchanged hands. But this spring was our most successful yet, said Rob Willett, an ISU graduate student in College Student Personnel Administration, who is working in Heartland's Office of Student Engagement. He said 234 books were handed out in this spring swap. The program is popular because it is an opportunity to exchange books without having to pay any money. We also help our fellow students, said sophomore Ralph Tyman, vice president of the Student Government Association. One of those students is Alyssa Spray, a freshman from Bloomington studying nursing at Heartland Community College. She spent a couple hundred dollars on books this semester. Others have reported spending even more. She dropped off books on child development and psychology as a way to cut costs next semester. In addition to saving money, that swap also saves time, according to freshman Tanner Benedict of Gridley, who also dropped off two books. You don't have to worry about tracking them down online, said Benedict. Buying books online is an option for many students, but others use the campus bookstore, either out of convenience or because the bookstore accepts financial aid vouchers. When the idea surfaced, such a program was not allowed under the contract with the bookstore operator, Follett Higher Education Group, but Follett gave its permission. Since 2015, the college has approved single-year contracts rather than multi-year contracts with Follett. As the textbooks Steering Committee continues to meet regularly on the issue of textbook affordability, including bookstore operations. Quote, at some point we may come in with a more radical approach, committee member Doug Minter, vice president of business services, told the Board of Trustees. For now, the staff thinks continuation of the existing contract for an additional year is appropriate. The college eliminated its commission on bookstore textbook sales when it renewed the contract in 2015. Other cost-saving efforts have focused on textbook selection and the use of free digital textbooks called Open Educational Resources. Willett and Tyman said they are trying to get more students to participate in that swap. Both said a key to Heartland's successful swap is cooperation and coordination between students and administration. Students who do not have a book to turn in can buy one on certain days for $10. That money has been going into a fund that will begin providing scholarships next spring, said Willett. Unused credits for donating books carry over to the next semester, but students who leave before using them can contribute them to a pool to help students in need. It is another way students are giving back to help a fellow student. End of article. We want our students to succeed. Elementary teachers are known for encouraging their students to do great things. For students who attended Irving Elementary School in Bloomington, that support does not stop after fifth grade, junior high, or even high school. It's still there as they head to college. For 25 years, past and present staff of Irving have funded the Irene Gamsky Scholarship for Bloomington High School seniors who attended that elementary school. Quote, it began when a group of teachers realized some of our low-income children were not furthering their education after high school. They wanted to encourage them to finish high school and go on to college or a technical school. End quote, said Maureen Zbob, a special ed teacher at Irving and coordinator of the program. The concept began in 1985 upon retirement of a school counselor, Irene Gamsky, who was instrumental in development of the program, said Zbob. The first set of scholarships was awarded in 1992. Many teachers take part in a voluntary payroll deduction, which is funneled into the scholarship fund. Retired staff also sometimes host a lunch for current staff as a fundraiser. This year, local organizations including Mid-Illini Credit Union, New Covenant Community Church, Heartland Bank, and Union Missionary Baptist Church made donations to that fund. Since 1992, scholarships totaling $56,800 have been awarded to 147 former Irving students. Quote, we want our students to succeed and have opportunities that may not otherwise be afforded to them, said Zbob. Some students are from a single-parent home or have a dad working two jobs. They say the scholarship helps them get where they really want to be, end quote. To apply for a $500 scholarship, students must have attended Irving for at least 1 year. The application includes a biographical sketch, letter of recommendation, and proof of acceptance to a university or a trade school. 8 $500 scholarships were awarded this year. 6 went to Bloomington High School seniors and 2 went to former students who are already enrolled in college. Bloomington High School senior Malik Helm is one of this year's scholarship recipients. He plans to attend Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, to study business management or marketing. Helm, 18, said the scholarship will help pay for food, housing, and textbooks. Quote, it really shows how much those teachers care. At Irving, we were all close to the teachers, and we made a lot of personal connections there, he said, adding attending the elementary school was the highlight of his education. The kids were cool with each other, and the teachers were fun. It is nice to know they still care enough about us to help us get through college, said Helm. Bloomington High School senior Jaden Jossel, 17, also received a scholarship. He said it will go toward books and living expenses while attending the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign to study civil engineering. It is a really great feeling to know the teachers I had almost 10 years ago remember me and were like, hey, this kid deserves a little extra money to help pay for his college, said Jossel. I remember all of the teachers I had for kindergarten through fifth. It was really fun. Zbob said, maintaining that scholarship fund is a commitment of past and present Irving teachers. It is a passion of all teachers to help students know college is attainable for them. We want to help however we can, end quote, she said. End of article. Home and Aid Fundraiser Plan. Children's Home and Aid will host its For the Love of Children luncheon from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, at the Doubletree by Hilton at 10 Brickyard Drive in Bloomington. Money raised goes to programs which include the 24-hour crisis nursery, foster care placement, and parenting support services. This event includes a reception at 11 a.m., the luncheon, and a program from 11:30 to 1. For tickets, you may call 309-834-5294, 834-5294, or you can email lcordero@childrenshomeandaid.org, lcordero@childrenshomeandaid.org. End of article. Peterson to receive extended treatment in murder case, Bloomington. A Bloomington man found not guilty by reason of insanity in the stabbing death of his parents in July 2016 will receive extended mental health treatment in a state facility. A court order approving Brian Peterson's treatment was finalized Friday in McLean County Circuit Court. The 26-year-old defendant was escorted to court by staff from McFarland Mental Health Center in Springfield. Peterson has been in that state facility since February when Judge Robert Freitag concurred with the doctor's opinion that Peterson did not understand the criminality of his actions when he stabbed Nancy and Bruce Peterson in the family's home. Nancy Peterson was stabbed 4 times, 3 times in the chest and once in the left arm, as she sat in a chair in the living room in July 2016. Her husband left the bedroom when he heard her screams, and he was stabbed 10 times, including wounds to his back and shoulder. Shortly after his arrest, Peterson was found mentally unfit to stand trial, but he was restored to fitness several months later. A doctor hired in an agreement between the state and defense concluded Peterson was insane at the time of those killings. On Friday, Peterson, who has been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, nodded to the judge that he understood the court proceedings. An evaluation submitted to the court in March recommended Peterson be placed in a secure setting for extended treatment. Under Illinois law, he may be confined for life in a state facility, the sentence he would have received if convicted of murder. He may also be released if doctors determine he has recovered sufficiently to return to the community. Defense lawyer Brian McEldowney said he is guardedly optimistic Brian's going to recover, but he has a long road ahead based on the nature of things. The state will determine which mental health facility Peterson will be housed in for treatment. The state will submit periodic progress reports to the court. End of article. Suspect in custody for shooting case. Bloomington. Police have arrested a 28-year-old Bloomington man in connection with a shooting Sunday in the downtown area. Officers arrested that suspect at 12:11 on Friday in 12:11 p.m. in a parking lot near Veterans Parkway and Clearwater Avenue, said Bloomington Police Department Sergeant Aaron Veerman. The suspect was arrested following a lengthy foot chase, according to a Bloomington News release, adding it was a coordinated effort by police officers with the department's Vice, Street Crimes, K-9, Criminal Investigation, and Patrol divisions. Police said the public's response to the release of a video of a suspect helped to secure that arrest. No other suspects are being sought, police said. Bloomington police officers were on patrol about 2:06 a.m. last Sunday in the 600 block of North Main Street when they heard a loud pop. Initially, officers did not find anyone who had been shot. Then officers were dispatched to Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal for a report of a 34-year-old man with gunshot wounds to his legs. That victim's injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. The shooting suspect is being held in McLean County Jail on preliminary charges of armed, habitual, criminal, aggravated discharge of a firearm, and unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. He is expected to appear at a bond hearing this week on Saturday. The Pantograph does not identify suspects in such cases until formal charges are filed. Leroy Ambulance Service to mark 40 years. 40 years of providing service to the Leroy area will be celebrated Saturday by the Leroy Emergency Ambulance Service. An open house at the agency's headquarters, 303 South East Street, is scheduled from 2 until 5 p.m., said emergency medical technician and business manager Laura Willis. The Leroy Ambulance Service started in October 1977. At that time, it took about $30,000 annually to operate. Now the cost for a basic ambulance and supplies is about $215,000. A paramedic ambulance and supplies can run past $225,000. Training to be an EMT can take up to 2 years and countless hours of studying. In all, there are 32 employees, including EMTs, first responders, and drivers. The Leroy agency receives revenue from a property tax levy allocation, billing for ambulance calls, and donations. The tax levy of 15 cents per $100 of assessed valuation is lower than most of the surrounding communities, who average between 30 and 40 cents per $100 of assessed valuation, according to a statement released by the service. Willis said, quote, "We are proud to be among the most cost-effective ALS ambulance services in our county," Willis said, adding that services have evolved over the past four decades, but employees maintain a small-town, community-based service. "I just love it here," Willis said. "You get to know the people in a small town quickly. It is comforting for them to see a familiar face in a time of need," end quote. The Leroy Emergency Ambulance Service has a primary service area of 154 square miles, and it provides ALS service to the Leroy Fire Protection District, the Ellsworth Fire Protection District, and part of the Downs Community Fire Protection District. End of article. Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers of McLean County need public's help in finding a person accused of contempt of court for felony charges. Ralph Raithel, R-A-I-T-H-E-L, 33, is 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs 160 pounds. He has brown hair, blue eyes, fair skin, and a medium build. His last known address was in Peoria. He is named on a warrant charging him with resisting a police officer while causing injury, burglary, and possession of a controlled substance. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000. Wow, and he has a huge tattoo on his neck of a rose. Of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. You may call 309-828-1111. 828-1111. End of article. Bloomington Normal students given freedom to learn with State Farm mentors. A year of analyzing and creating through computer science has some Twin City High School students itching for more real-world projects in school. Quote, "It is interesting to see the ways they approach and dissect problems, weigh risks, identify feasibility, and make decisions. It is cool to see maturation of their minds," said Alan Hayes, instructor for problem solving with computer programming at Bloomington High School, end quote. From October to April, State Farm employees mentored students from Bloomington High School, Normal West, and Normal Community High School in select computer science classes. Bloomington High School junior Bo Stinson worked with classmates to develop an app that could help college students better manage loans and contact financial professionals with questions. Quote, "This felt like a more realistic approach to learning than current standardized testing," said Stinson. "It wasn't just pages of multiple choice answers. We had to identify a problem and solve it. It is better to have open projects like this in school because you can really use your own ideas." His group partner, Malik Helm, a Bloomington High School senior, said the group ran into coding problems during the project and had to work through the issues as a team. "It gave us the chance to see what it would be like working on a similar project for a big company," said Helm. "This was a more practical way to learn. It would be cool if more classes had projects like this, giving us freedom to learn," end quote. The joint STEM project with State Farm and area high schools was organized by the Illinois Science and Technology Institute. Other businesses throughout the state were connected with 38 high schools for that project. One group from each high school was invited in April to the STEM Challenge Student Showcase in Chicago to present their research. Sophomore Rylan Hambleton and freshman Dominic Saylor were chosen to represent Bloomington High School. Their project focused on the use of drone technology to make insurance claims during catastrophes. Sally McMullers of Bloomington is a manager in IT systems at State Farm. She gave pointers and encouraged the drone team to think outside the box. Quote, "My role was to keep the brainstorming flowing and get that group to be very clearly articulate what they wanted to do," said McCullers. She said the group studied drone licensing and regulations, battery life, and range of motion. "We need to continue to bring real-life examples into our classrooms to educate and energize students about career fields they can be a part of in the future, said McCullers. If something does not feel like schoolwork now, maybe down the road the same subject won't feel like work, end quote. Students at Normal Community High and Normal West explored ways to ensure self-driving vehicles and reward systems for safe driving. Another Bloomington High School group designed a direct donation network for community members who need financial assistance. Through referrals from churches and homeless shelters, individuals can request donations from volunteers to pay for things like groceries and down payments. Quote, these kids are soaking up knowledge, said Hayes. Their learning capacity is growing. Hopefully, they will take that approach in the next steps of their lives as they are educated by different people. End quote. End of article. Here's one on business as usual. Clock ticking on finding a state budget solution. Springfield. For the third year in a row, three men at the center of Illinois politics are circling inside the Capitol. Nobody is pulling any punches. In one corner is Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. In the other are Democratic leaders Michael Madigan and John Cullerton. The goal, pass, this is my quote, a stinking budget before the end of session May 31st. The past 2 years have seen lawmakers come up short, both sides throwing in the towel, as an untold number of Illinois residents suffer through the longest gap between budgets of any state in the U.S. Lawmakers remain, optimistic they can come to terms, but how close the two sides are to an agreement depends on whom you ask. A spokesman for the governor deferred questions for the story to an opinion piece the governor wrote last week in the Springfield State Journal Register and several subsequent news conferences. In that op-ed piece, the governor reiterates many of the policy stances he has taken during his first term, arguing he would support a tax increase, but only with fundamental changes to what he sees as a broken system. Quote, we have been trying to negotiate a good deal for taxpayers for more than 2 years, Governor Rauner wrote, but we will not be pressured by special interests, insiders, and career politicians to take a bad deal for our taxpayers, end quote. Much of the spotlight remains on the battle of wills between Governor Rauner and Madigan, the powerful longtime Speaker of the House and Chairman of the Illinois Democratic Party. While Governor Rauner has painted Madigan as a career politician who bows to special interests, Madigan's spokesman Steve Brown points to the budget's pass since Madigan became Speaker in 1983, saying Madigan worked with governors and legislators of both parties to get them approved. As I've said, quote, the governor needs to look at himself in the mirror and ask the figure that he sees, why did you screw up this state budgeting process, end quote, Brown said. Lord help us. The spring session has seen much of the budgeting focus in Illinois, in the Senate, where months of bipartisan talks have seen senators taking swings at passing a grand bargain budget, which would include items as varied as a property tax freeze, gambling expansion, workers' compensation reform, an income tax increase, and changes to the school funding formula. These talks failed in March, but worked to pass a bill to implement necessary cuts to get to the previously approved $36.5 billion spending plan failed. Bills to reform workers' compensation or raise taxes were never called for a vote. The governor has publicly been cordial when addressing the Senate's effort to pass a budget, but he did not mince words when asked about Madigan and House Democrats during his stop last Tuesday in Springfield. Quote, House Democrats under Speaker Madigan have showed no good faith willingness to engage in negotiations, end quote, Rauner said. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph. At this time, we will take a short break.